never rests.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening. It is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell. We're from Dogs HQ, and we have former Georgia Director of Player Personnel, Matt Godwin, on to talk a little bit about the start of this football season, kind of what this final week looks like for Georgia, the calm before the storm is over. Rusty, it's game week. I can't hardly contain myself. What's going on, man?
It's going to be the longest week ever, but I don't want to mess around. We got all night to talk. This is, I think this is one of the best guests we have. I'm not trying to blow Matt up here, but I think Matt knows insides and outs his program, what Georgia has done over the last couple of weeks, some of these recruiting battles versus Clemson, and what kind to expect on a game week at Georgia. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got your phone turned off. That was an all-timer when you think that thing kept going off that first time.
Well, it's not my phone. That was my computer.
Yeah, computer, yes. Computer.
The iMessage, man. It's that iMessage.
I even did a test before I came on. So, yeah, we're good.
How? Let me ask you this. How's life treating you in Wills Up? I know you're dealing with a lot of college coaches and other things, but how things going at Wills Up?
It's good. It's good. We got a busy fall ahead of us, so I'll be traveling around for work, also traveling around on the weekends to see some games. So, it's all good. I mean, the company's growing and moving in the right direction, so it's fun to be a part of.
Now, Matt, obviously you're in a completely different realm now, but looking back, where did this time of year, right as the season's about to get to crank up for you, where did it kind of, your excitement meter, your, hey, we're here, what did this mean for you guys, for not just you, but other support staffers, coaching staff? How excited are they to get to this Monday Monday of game week?
Yeah, I think everybody's excited, but I think it already kind of started. I think after that second scrimmage, it's kind of like, okay, you turn the page and you start really thinking about Clemson or your first opponent, whoever it is. You know, those first 2-3 weeks of camp, whatever, you're not so much thinking about individual opponents. It's just, you know, create competitive reps, physicality. You know, you're kind of building the core tenets of your team and your organization. And then after that second scrimmage, which – I guess it took place the 17th, I want to say. That's when you really start, you know, the anticipation builds. And then, you know, for Clemson, with a big opponent like that, you know, we would normally start prep kind of the end of what last week would be. So the 22nd, the 23rd is probably when they started kind of really taking a deep dive. And, I mean, I think they're all revved up and ready to go.
Let's dig into this a little bit. Some of these recruiting battles. Let me do this. Let me start this topic because this was one of the last kids that you probably got a chance to see. Jared Curtis, young man out of Nashville, 2026 quarterback, verbally committed to Georgia. I got a chance to see him throw last week. And Matt, I tried not to have like that, you know, that visit high. I tried not to have that, but after that first throw, I just started laughing. I looked at the coach and I was like, what the hell just happened? Like the first ball out of his hand, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. You know, did you get a chance to see him in person before you were done? And what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think, I'm going to be careful. You know, the last time I was on here, I compared Ryan to Caleb Williams. So, super expectations. But I mean, when you talk about elite arm talent, I mean, that's what this guy is. And, I mean, his arm talent is something special, and it's something that we haven't seen much in this program or anybody's seen. I think that's the number one thing they're excited about. But also, you know, he's a quiet, humble kid, kind of country. And that's what they like about him, right, is he's not into the NIL. He's not into the image and, the marketing and all this other stuff. You know, this guy just wants to play football. And I think initially that was the thing that stood out about Jared because – I mean, we were on him when I was still there. And then obviously Coach Bobo, Montgomery, Van Gorder, all those guys, they kind of continued that foundation and they got him on board. So I think there's a lot to be excited about. But, yeah, I mean, the arm talent is it's something special. So
yeah, there's a lot that goes into quarterback. I kind of learned my lesson over the years. But that skill set of what he's got strapped to his shoulder right now, you want to start with that. So a long way to go with him. Seems solid. Enjoyed. And like you just said, man, I'm like, I barely just sent some DMs with him and barely was like, hey, look, I'm coming to see you. Promised you I would. And was able to set that up. And It's funny, get there and he starts talking about other kids. That's a great sign for me when you start pointing out other players and, hey, this guy's good, this guy's good. And, you know, actually sent me a DM, didn't say thank you for coming, didn't say, hey, when you putting that stuff out, he sent me the DM of one of his other, the Twitter handle of one of his other players. So it kind of tells you his focus and had a really big game. Charles Power, our director of scouting, he put out some stuff this weekend. Guys, if you hadn't seen that, you might want to watch that, because he made the first two throws of that highlight tape from Friday night are just it's unbelievable what he has done.
Yeah, and I'll just add, I won't name the source, but one of the coaches on staff told me that him throwing a deep ball looks like a jugs machine, you know, launching.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah, the first ball he threw, I was like, what just happened? Like, did you see the coach turn to me and laugh? He goes, every college coach that comes through here has that same reaction. So I got it. Let's talk about this. And this ain't always, you know, it's always kind of reality here. Georgia didn't win them all, but a guy that I know you scouted, a guy I know that you evaluated, a guy you know that Georgia coveted, they're going to face him this weekend in Barrett Carter, young man out of North Gwinnett High School. Pretty sure it got down to Georgia and Clemson. It was during that COVID year. It was kind of a weird deal. I actually broke his commitment on TV in his backyard. One of the weirdest things I've ever did. Great kid. Georgia's going to face him this weekend. What did you think about Barrett Carter and why is he such at a high level player?
Yeah. I mean, when I think of Barrett Carter, the first two things that pop in my mind are instincts and character. Mm-hmm. I mean, Barrett Carter genuinely, truly, I think was one of the best kids that we recruited and, you know, last 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, stand-up kid, great family. And then, like I said, the instincts. And, you know, on the football field, you saw that at linebacker and running back. I don't think it's really a secret now, but it's gotten out that, you know, schools like to see linebackers that play running back, right? Because it's kind of the same position on opposite sides of the coin. You know, it's very instinctive. It's reading, diagnosing, recognizing. So you saw that from Barrett, and that was the biggest thing. And, you know, he's really twitchy. He's got really good quickness. He's really solid on contact. He's probably not as talented as maybe some other guys, but he is just a really, really good football player. And, you know, going back to that class, when I think about it, you know, we kind of had four guys that were above the rest, and it was him, Smile Mondin, Xavier Sori, and then Jamon Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, and Barrett and Jamon were kind of, you know, we likened them to each other, you know, where maybe they weren't as talented as the other two, but they were just really solid football players. And then Smile and Sori were kind of the high upside, longer athletes. And obviously Smile has done a really, really good job at Georgia. And then I think Xavier Sori will have a good year at Arkansas. But Barrett was, you know, he was one of my favorites for sure.
One more question before you jump in here, Ro, talking about this. And this was a Clemson-Georgia battle, even though, you know, Georgia kind of was always a team to beat. Clemson made their run at him. Malachi Starks, what was it like with him? Almost the same description as Barrett Carter. This time Georgia got this guy. But Malachi Starks going to play a big role this weekend for Georgia, obviously this year. But what was that like during that recruitment for him?
You know, Malachi was a funny kid because, you know, he came up to a game when he was a freshman and just loved coming to games. And, you know, Malachi was kind of an all hands on deck thing where, you know, position coaches were involved. Coach Smart was involved. But, you know, we had some support staffers that did a really, really great job. You know, James Ellis, Angela Kirkpatrick, Rashawn Scott. You know, those three kind of together, you know, I really give them the credit for kind of bringing them on board. And I remember it was just so funny because, you know, you hear stuff, you know, if you don't know if you're getting, you know, if the guy hasn't told you where he's going before his commitment, it's not you. That's kind of like
the old scene line.
And, you know, we felt really good about Malachi. He'd been on campus 1,000 times and, you know, he said all the right things, but he never said, you know, hey, I'm coming to Georgia. He never told Coach Smart that. He never really told anybody.
Yeah.
So you get commitment day and it's like, I mean, I think we're getting this guy. And then sure enough, we did. But it was an interesting one because 99% of the time, you know, the guy tells the school where he's going. And I think Malachi, you know, he just kind of knew where he was going. And I think in his mind, he probably just assumed we knew. But it was a stressful day.
I did that one on TV and we're coming out of COVID. Matter of fact, we couldn't even do it at Jefferson High School because they didn't want to do. So we did it at a community center. From what I understand, it's supposed to have been like 100 people there. I roll up in there and there's about 500 people in there. We're about to be on live TV. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I did not know until about an hour before. And they had the kind of the sheets over the balloons. And I was like, I got to see. So I walked to the back and I kind of pulled the sheet back and I saw the red and black balloons. I was like, all right, we're good for the show here now. So, but yeah, he was very quiet during the recruitment, but obviously big time talent, and he's going to be a first rounder this time next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Malachi, you know, hit the ground running like few guys ever have. I think people know this just from, you know, guys like you reporting it and different people in the media. But, you know, I don't know if people fully grasp how difficult our defense is, particularly at safety and inside linebacker.
Yes. Yes.
To start as a true freshman at safety like he did. And, you know, Caleb Downs did it at Alabama, you know, in that Saban smart system to start as a true freshman at that position. People will have no idea how hard and impressive that is. So,
you go ahead, Ro. Ro's muted. Jake, you're muted.
I do it all the
Sunday.
Time, man.
It's Sunday, baby. It's Sunday. It's game week.
That's what we do on Sundays. I try to talk through the mute button. I just did it on a radio show about an hour ago. So, looking at this Clemson roster, I wanted to ask you, anybody else stand out other than Barrett Carter as guys that, you know, you remember really well, or that maybe some other favorite guys you have as far as you're connecting with them, watching their film, whatever that you like on this Clemson roster?
Yeah, I think the guy that pops out isn't necessarily a guy we were crazy about, but is Peter Woods. You know, Peter Woods was very highly touted from Birmingham area. He was a defensive tackle. To be honest with you, we kind of picked him apart. We were like, this guy's never going to get big enough. You know, we at Georgia, you know, we like those 6'3", 6'4", 300-plus pound frames. And Peter was more that 6'1 and three-quarter, 6'2", really stout guy. But obviously the traits, you know, popped off the tape. He was twitchy, powerful, you know, a good athlete. And, you know, I think that, you know, we were definitely wrong, you know, based on what he did his freshman year at Clemson was really impressive. And I'm thinking about a text from, I think it was last October or November, whenever Georgia Tech played him, Buster Faulkner, they were on the bus up to Clemson, and he texts me. He's like, did you not like this Peter Woods guy? He's like, this guy's going to kill us. And that's one I don't really lose sleep over. But I think that guy, you know, he presents some problems. You know, with a guard like Tate Ratledge, who's 6'6", Dylan Fairchild, 6'5", you know, sometimes these squattier three techniques, you know, guys have a hard time with them because they can't, you know, they can't get leverage. They can't get low enough. Thankfully, you know, our center, Jared Wilson, is about that size. And I've got a lot of faith in Jared. But I think that's got to present some problems. Barrett Carter, who we mentioned. And then I think, you know, there's a lot of smoke on these wide receivers that they just signed. You know, TJ Moore from Tampa was a guy that we absolutely loved. And I think that we were kind of ahead of the curve. You know, I think he ended up being pretty highly ranked. But, I mean, on our board, he was, you know, he wasn't J.J. Smith level, but he was up near the top. And that's a guy that, you know, is a little bit scary for a program like Georgia because, you know, they don't have a lot of tape on him. They don't really know what to expect. So him – and then the other guy from Dallas, Bryant Wesco. I know that Clemson's really talented or really high on them. And they both have a lot of talent. And like I said, just with the lack of, you know, film, you don't have a lot to prepare for. So, you know, when the ball rolls out, Georgia's not really going to know what they're getting into with those two freshman wideouts.
You talk to a lot of NFL guys still because they know you kind of know this roster. What's kind of been the feedback in August from guys that you've seen and have seen Georgia and maybe even Clemson? What's been the feedback there, if you can share some of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the scouts are impressed with Georgia. You know, it's funny because the biggest thing the scouts have said is like, man, like y'all got some really good players, but also some really good kids. You know, it's like when a scout asks me a question, you know, I don't have to lie. You know, I don't have to say, this guy's doing everything he's supposed to do. You know, you're just genuinely telling the truth. And it's like, you know, Coach Smart has got a really, really good group in that junior, senior crop. There's going to be some guys that go high. You know, I'm not going to speculate on exacts, but, you know, I think Georgia's obviously going to have, you know, double digits guys drafted, and you're going to have some guys go in the first round. So, I think it's as strong as a group, you know, as we've had. And, you know, in the past, you know, we've probably had some better top end defensive talent. But, you know, the difference is kind of moving forward really since 2022 is, you know, we're more balanced. You know, we got some really, really good offensive players. So I know that, you know, when NFL coach or NFL scouts go to those practices, you know, they're excited, they're giddy. Georgia's one that, you know, they all circle and they want to get back to multiple times. So.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Walker, that's the one I kind of hear the NFL guys love. Like, they love his versatility, rush to passer, play inside backer, can cover. He's kind of a three-down backer. Like, he doesn't have to leave the field because you can rush him on third down. He can make a ton of money this year. Am I wrong in that?
No, not at all. And I think, you know, Jalen Walker, I think if it was 10 years ago, I think NFL teams would have a hard time placing him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I think of Jalen Walker, there's one player in the NFL I think of, and that's Hassan Reddick. Yep. Hassan Reddick's a kid from New Jersey that, you know, Coach Fran used to talk about all the time, went to Temple. But, you know, Hassan Reddick is 6'1 and a half, 235, 240, super twitchy, great athlete. Came into the league as an off-ball linebacker with Arizona, didn't have the best instincts, really wasn't a great fit. And then really it was the Eagles that kind of figured out, if we just cut this guy loose, a pass rusher, you know, he's going to have a lot of value. So when I think of Jalen, I think of exactly that, because, you know, he's a great athlete and he's really developed as a rusher. I mean, towards the end of last season, I mean, if you just charted his one-on-one reps, it felt like he was winning more than he was losing. So I think NFL people are obviously really excited about him. And like you referenced, it's the versatility. You know, he can play kind of as an off-ball backer. He can play in coverage. You know, he runs the twists and stunts great, which, you know, that's what everybody does with the pressure game. So, and on top of all that, and I think I said this last year, I mean, great kid, great family. You know, Jalen Walker is a guy that's going to have a 12, 14 year NFL career and then go on and, you know, be a governor or something. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Also that kind of player who, you know, may get a few chances to rush, may also have to set the pick or kind of rub the guy off there in terms of, you know, getting a rush, and he does it every time. So that's kind of very low ego player. And I think that kind of makes him fit into what Georgia wants to do. Speaking of those kind of outside guys, I mean, you got Damon Wilson going into year two now. I know you were really high on him going into year one, up around 250 pounds. I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on not necessarily setting expectations for him, but just him as a player, and him as a player at, you know, probably 20, 25 pounds heavier than he was last year.
Yeah, I think, you know, Chidera and I were both really excited about Damon Wilson. And that was one that went down to the wire with Ohio State, I think, as everybody knows. But, you know, I think when people think edge rusher, they kind of think the Jadeveon Clowney mold. You know, Clowney was 6'5", 265, ran a 4.5 40. And, like, yeah, you would love to have that. But those guys don't grow on trees.
No,
right?
No.
One, you know, there's a few traits that you consistently see with really good edge rushers. And that's the twitch and the flexibility and also the balance and the power. So, you know, a guy may run a 4.7 40 or 4.8 40, but if he's got those other traits, usually you can make up for lack of speed. I think that's what Damon has, is he's unbelievably flexible, really twitchy. He plays with his hands very well. And I think for him, the biggest thing was just getting tougher, you know, just flat out. And, you know, a year in the program, he's got some good weight on him. So he's going to be able to have a little bit more power, a little bit more oomph when he strikes someone. So I think, you know, I'm really excited about him. I know that they're going to rotate heavily at that jack spot, because I know they want him in on third down. And if you want him in on third down, you're not going to burn him out on too many first and second down reps. So that's where you're going to see, you know, your Gabe Harris, maybe even Mykel Williams, Quintavious Johnson, who I know everybody's hearing about him, and Chaz Chambliss, obviously. So,
what you got, Ro?
I think I'm out of questions for Matt. He just blow right through him. Like, he's like, this all you guys got?
Well, got one question there. Our man Evan Grimes, Matt, do you miss it? Do you miss the grind? I mean, I say this, and I've said this about you, and I said this to people that leave college coaching and get into the corporate world or the real world. It's almost like a military person going into, you have to re-enter and kind of reset yourself and understand that you can put your phone down at night. What was it like the last year? Because I know how you've been programmed, but are you able to enjoy and kind of check out now?
Yeah, it's the word you use, programmed, is right. So the last year has been about, you know, deprogramming, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think I'm really happy. I'm really comfortable in terms of returning to college football. I'd be lying if I said I didn't notice that a guy at Alabama is making 8.5 million a year. So that certainly raised the eyebrows. But we'll see. You know, I maintain a relationship with Coach Smart, a lot of those assistants. I talked to a lot of those guys and guys at other schools as well. You know, like I mentioned, Buster Faulkner, some other guys. So, you know, I would never say never, but you know, at the end of the day, we did a lot of really good things at Georgia, and I'm happy I was a part of it. But I'm definitely glad to be on the other side for now. So,
so you're telling me you don't miss Junior Day?
No, don't miss camp. So,
so let me ask you this: what do you, I know the answer, but if they do away with the spring portal, like that's going to save a lot of coaches staying in college football, correct?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that. Frankly, the way things became was just not sustainable, right? And I think, you know, you'll still have a lot of coaches that want to go to the NFL. Because the NFL, while there are problems that you have to deal with, it's just a little bit of a different beast than it is down here. But the transfer portal stuff and the way they've modified the contact period, all that has it's made it more favorable for coaches and for organizations. It's just made it more practical, more realistic. I think, you know, if you don't mind, you know, if you just run through a week of a college coach, you know, during the season, right? You know, on Sunday you get in about 9:30, 10:30 a.m. Some coaches may get in a little bit earlier. You're there till 10:30 p.m., maybe later. You know, Monday you're there at 7 a.m. You're there till 10 p.m. Tuesday, same thing. Wednesday is a little bit lighter. You get there at 7 a.m. You leave about 7 p.m. And then Thursday is the same. And then Friday and Saturday, you're in game mode. And it's that over and over and over. And, you know, it's funny. I hear guys at my current job, they're like, oh, my God, like I've worked 6 days in a row. And it's like, buddy.
Get you some June.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one last. Six straight weeks.
Let me ask you.
Let me ask you one last question, and then we'll get you out of here. I got something to do tonight, I know. Am I wrong? And I've always been a proponent of this. I think it should be dead period in February. I think it should be dead period in March. I think it should be dead period in July. And then obviously August needs to be dead. I think they need to keep February and March dead because it allows the kids to focus on their high school and their off season training. And it allows those college coaches to spend time with their team and then game planning and doing the offseason stuff, because you're going to get July, which is sensible. That last week of August was the dumbest thing almost in the history of the NCAA, period. Going dead in August was the best thing I think they've done in a while. In fact, I wouldn't be opposed to having like a Saturday where you can visit from 12 to 6, where you can watch a team scrimmage, but you got to be off. You come at 12, you have to be off by 6, period. Two Saturdays in the fall, you could come see a team scrimmage, and that's the visit. Can't stay overnight, something like that. I think everybody would be okay with that. But I think they're trying to make some rules, but I would love to see March go dead in this.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, to your point, you know, Coach Smart used to make that comment all the time of, you know, I don't get to spend enough time with the team. You know, I'm busy with you, you know, seeing all these recruits, and I'm meeting 12 recruits in the day. Meanwhile, I didn't see one current player. I think the February, March, and then, I mean, the July thing to me is just a no-brainer. I mean, that last week in July was, I mean, one of the worst weeks of the year, because you get back from vacation.
Oh.
It's like, here we go. You know, we get a little bit of recruiting, then we get camp. So I think, I mean, what you just said makes a lot of sense. And again, you know, the stakeholders in college football have to look around and be realistic, because, I mean, if they don't, you know, you're just going to keep losing really good coaches like Brian McClendon to the NFL. So,
All right, give us your prediction, Georgia Clemson. What you got?
I like the dogs pretty big. I wouldn't be, you know, I don't want to lie, but I may have some money riding on it. So, I feel really good, you know. Thankfully, you know, knock on wood, hopefully we don't suffer any more injuries. But it sounds like we're down Rod Robinson and Jordan Hall. Outside of that, it sounds like the guys are pretty healthy. So. I like it. Home crowd in Atlanta. We'll be ready to roll.
There you have it.
We appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time, buddy, and good luck. Good luck with everything you've got coming up right after this show.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. That's it.
Hey, we appreciate Matt coming on, and we also appreciate our new partner, GameTime.co. GameTime.co. Now, listen, they were here with us last year, Rusty, and they did a phenomenal job. I visited this website several times. I love going to live events, whether it's comedy, Rusty is the live music king. I can't tell you how many times Rusty sends me a text message. He's like, hey, I'm going to this, I'm going to that. We use Game Time because Game Time, listen, this is one of the most interactive maps I've ever seen. Nobody does it like Game Time when it comes to the app, when it comes to the fluidity of using the site. It is it's intuitive, it's interactive, it's a lot of fun. And listen, there are tickets all over Mercedes-Benz Stadium, affordable tickets.
That is crazy. That's this weekend?
That's this weekend. That is this weekend for Georgia, Clemson. There's always a lot of secondary market tickets out there. Now, we don't really understand right now how much each one of them is, but you can go stand in room only for $125.
That's not bad.
You got a $120 seat up here. There aren't very many bad seats in this place. I will say that. You know, you're right up here in this corner right here where is where I'll be at. You know, I don't want you to come see me. So come on over to gametime.co, use the promo code ON3. Okay. Use that promo code ON3 and you will be able to get $20 off your first order. Terms apply. Now read through the terms on that. I think you have to spend a certain amount. The terms apply on that. But come on over to gametime.co, use the promo code ON3. And you'll get $20 off your first order. That is on ON3, to make sure you know that. And listen, we know. What time is it? It's game time. Download the app. Check it out. Get your discount. And go to this Georgia Clemson game. Go to a comedy show. Last minute tickets. They specialize in them. They're the best out there. We appreciate game time, Rusty. And listen, I'm going to spring this one on you because I didn't have a time to kind of tell you what we want to talk about. I just want to make a few predictions for this season. So last time we're really going to be on here before we really need to dig into Georgia and Clemson. So I wanted to get one chance, not necessarily game by game. You did that for the website, and I did that. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to do that this week, but. What do you think are some things that are going to happen? And if you're having a hard time thinking about, let's do this. I'm going to narrow it down to the offensive side of the ball. Give me a prediction for Georgia's offense this year.
I'll go two predictions, and I'll have to justify one with a second one. I will say, and it's not a big shocker. Carson Beck will be in New York in the finals for the Heisman. Will he win it? Don't know. It's a lot. I think he'll be a finalist in New York. I think he'll be there. I think Georgia's running game is going to be significantly better. I think you're going to have guys that can create. I think you're going to have guys in the passing game that can really hurt you. I think you're going to have guys that can turn. I've always said this, you know, can they turn 3rd and 7 into 3rd and 3? And you know, you don't see a lot of 30-yard runs and 40-yard runs and those types of things, but can they make you miss in small area? I kind of like what Georgia's got more athletic there with Trevor Etienne. And then, you know, obviously the buzz around Nate Frazier, what he can do, what we've seen on tape. I just think that, you know, if they can stay healthy there, they've added some different tools in the bag. You know, they've always had good running backs at Georgia, period. Had a lot of hammers lately, and guys that can make somebody miss. You throw a screen pass to a guy and you miss a tackle and you give up 20 instead of giving up 8. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. So I think the run game, not just in between the tackles, but out in space and what Mike Bobo has done in the past with running backs and ability to use them in the passing game, even Todd Monken did it too. Saw our man Kenny McIntosh last night take one to the house. Man, he was so good in the passing game and some of the stuff they did with him. So that's my two predictions. I have to justify because Carson Beck's going to put up some real big numbers to make that. I think Carson Beck has big-time, prime-time games. He'll get big audiences. There'll be a lot of eyes on Georgia nationwide. He will get a lot of chances to get himself an invite to New York.
I'm going to tie those two together. I think Carson's success is greater this year because of those running backs, not because of the run game, Rusty, but because there are a couple of guys there, maybe three, that he can check the football down to, and it's not four or five. It's 15 to 20. It's, you know, that, and I think that's something that Stetson really got into there with Kenny McIntosh. And, you know, Mike Bobo did a phenomenal, I mean, if you look at Kenny McIntosh's season, just in terms of yards in 15 games, greatest receiving season for a Georgia running back in history. You look at yards per game, that goes all the way back to 2013 and Todd Gurley, because he only played in 10 games and was averaging something almost like 50 yards receiving a game. So that's something there too. But I think the success of one depends on the other there in the check down game and the play action game and all of that stuff. I'm going to predict it. I have a hard time doing this, man, but I'm going to do it because I don't think I ever have, maybe once or twice. I think Georgia hits 1,000-yard receiving this year. I think they've got 1,000-yard receiving.
Who you got?
And I think it's because there's enough games. And I think it's
going to be. Who is it?
Don Lovett. I think it's going to be Don Lovett. When Rusty, you know what I'm talking about when I say this. I didn't really want to come out and just say
That's a big boy. That's a big boy prediction right there now.
But let's check. Let's talk about this. Okay. In that first scrimmage, Tate Ratledge played a series and then didn't do a whole lot else. And then Trevor Etienne played the first series, didn't do a whole lot else. And then Dominic Lovett did that. You seeing a trend? That guy who – they got plans for this guy. Not only that, Rusty, out of all the spring – you remember all the receivers we heard about in the spring? You remember receivers we heard about this preseason camp? The one guy we never stopped hearing about was Dominic. And so I'm not saying it's going to be a monster 90 yards a game type season, but when you start looking into a 15-game season, Dom Lovett's been durable. He's shown that he can kind of stick in there and be that guy. I look at the durability. I look at the number of games Georgia's going to play, the fact that he's a big part of the plan. And, oh, by the way, I keep pointing back to this thing. In the games where Brock Bowers missed a significant amount of time or was out last year, Dom Lovett really stepped up his game. He was a much more of a dangerous over-the-middle threat in Georgia's offense when Bowers wasn't in there, because that was Bowers' job. He was the guy that kind of patrolled between the hash marks and up the seams, and now I think that's Lovett's place to play.
I said this last week. You guys had interviews with him, and Palmer had those, and you had those for the site. I got a chance to actually meet him last week doing some stuff for DJ Shockley, who was out of town for the Falcons. So filled in for him, did an interview with Dominic Lovett in person. And, man, you talking about a sharp guy, and you talking about somebody that freaking loves the Georgia fan base. I said, look, what would you tell the Georgia fans? And he was like, man, I don't even know where to start. Like, I love y'all. This place is crazy. We appreciate, you know, he said, you don't realize, but we know Georgia fans are going to show up wherever we are, and they're going to be loud, and they're going to be rocking. And I asked him, I said, who's the best team? It was a great answer. Maybe I shouldn't give this before this interview plays, but I will. I said, who's the best team you ever played against? And he said, Georgia. And I thought, damn. That's a pretty good answer. I forgot to kind of say that, you know, but he was like, man, we played Georgia when I was in Missouri. It was like they were big and as fast as you thought. So you hope for this young man that he gets that. That's a, you know, listen, he's going to get his targets. It's going to be one of those things too, Jake. If he were to get to that, that tells you had a really good yard after catch stuff, because he gets chances in the slot to catch the ball on a run. He gets chances to do things. They're going to find ways to get the ball to him as much as possible. And he is an impressive young man. I'll be honest with you, didn't know a ton about him until we sat down with him for about 10 minutes. And he is a sharp dude. He freaking loves playing for Georgia Bulldogs. He loves his fan base. It's crazy. You're on mute, Jake.
Yeah, and like you said, that's a he's really sharp. He's really sharp.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's him. I mean, he picked up on that offense quickly enough to become kind of the second leading receiver in year one. That's not really easy to do. You never really heard anything about him picking up the offense. I think he's going to know it better and kind of be a bigger deal for Georgia this year. And I think he ultimately ends up being the guy. So, all right, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. Give me a prediction for that.
I think that Jalen Walker will have 8 or more sacks. Can you write that in for me?
Okay, I got you.
I think Jalen Walker, and I think that what Matt Godwin said too about Damon Wilson. I think Damon Wilson's gonna be a lot of a part of that, especially third down stuff. But I think Jalen Walker, I'm telling you, man, I just think he's gonna have a great year. If he stays healthy, I think this is a guy that Georgia fans are gonna be really, really excited about. I didn't think about that Hassan Reddick comparison, but man, that really, really kind of is there. You know what I mean? And so I'm on the table, man. Jalen Walker, might as well double down on him.
Yeah, I like that one too. I think that he is going to have a high number of sacks. Another guy that I think is going to kind of come out of nowhere as a pass rusher for Georgia this year is Gabe Harris. I think his twitch and his ability to kind of bring that from the inside and maybe get some good matchups from a little further inside the tackle, you know, maybe in some pass rush situations, especially with the early down snaps that he's going to get. I think Gabe Harris is a guy that can kind of come out of nowhere a little bit and put up some numbers. Maybe not high tackle numbers, high snap numbers, but high, you know, kind of behind the line of scrimmage types of numbers. I like that one too. I am going to predict that this one's tough. This was tough for me because I bounced around to a lot of different places on this. I think this is the breakout season for Christian Miller. I just think that this is kind of an all SEC announce your presence. Maybe the last time he plays at Georgia type season.
Yeah.
He's in the best shape he's been in since he's been at Georgia. We've talked about him on the show.
Had a great offseason.
Yeah. And he's got a year under his belt. He did some impressive things last year. You go back to the Auburn game and some of the things he did at nose in that game really helped Georgia win that game. And then you go back to the SEC championship game, the tackle for loss he had against Alabama early in that game, you know, kind of stopped the drive all by itself. I think he can be that kind of player for Georgia. I'm talking like, you know, right up there around double digits tackle for a loss.
Yeah, he flashes. Like when he makes a play, like he almost takes the handoff type guy. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Wins
like
big. He wins. He wins his rep big. Plays. Yeah.
When he wins it, like he's in the backfield, like. The running back don't get going downhill because he's to the ground, especially against Alabama, made that play. I forgot about the Auburn stuff, but you know, I've watched him for a long time. I felt like everything there is right for him, and, man, that's a good pick. That'd be great. That'd be great news for Georgia, you know, if this guy was – you know, let him in TFLs.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, we got another guy we need to talk about here on the show, Rusty. It is our man Andy Ludicky over at My Perfect Franchise. .net. Listen, you may be a displaced corporate executive. You may be an experienced entrepreneur and you just want to diversify. Well, myperfectfranchise.net is the place you need to turn. Andy Ludicky is a franchise veteran. He's owned multiple businesses. He's a businessman. He's a teacher. He's a consultant and he loves sports. He loves some college football. And Andy can help you live your American dream. Go on over to MyPerfectFranchise.com. Reach out to Andy, and he can help you realize, hey, I can do more. I can get more going. And that's your guy, Andy Ludicky, over at MyPerfectFranchise.net, value partner of Dogs HQ. Rusty, we had a couple of questions here that I really wanted to get to. Ultimately, this one caught me the most. Who do you think fills in at safety opposite Starks, and who will be the second cornerback? And I want us to end on this question tonight, Rusty, because that second question is so fascinating to me. I know there's a lot of ways we probably shouldn't talk about this thing. I think all three of them are going to play. You know, I think, you know, Ellis Robinson, Julian Humphrey, you know, Daniel Harris, I think all three of them are going to play. I think as the season goes on, they might try to whittle it down to a couple of guys, but I don't think they ever play less than two guys at the position. And I think we all know the reason why is, you know, you got to play cornerbacks. You got to keep guys ready. You got to keep guys around. And I think getting those cornerbacks as involved as they possibly can is a big priority for the staff. And the good news is, Rusty, you hear a lot of good things about all of them. You think they can all do the job.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'm confident in Georgia with Kirby Smart, and just to be honest with you, I'll say this, because the two common denominators really for a while now have been Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart that have been involved with the DBs. And don't think that Kirby Smart's not involved with the DBs. You know, we've had if you're hiring the right guys, you lose some sometimes. You know, they've had three or four defensive back guys that's went on and went other places and done other things. But the common denominator for the last 3 to 4 years being Will Muschamp, even when Will was off the field, Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart, they have boxes that they want. And to be able to play, and Glenn Schumann's involved with that evaluation as well, they have parameters that you just about have to be to play defensive back for them. And you're going to be a certain length, you're going to have a certain wingspan, and you're going to be able to run a certain amount. And they're going to work you out, too. They're going to work you out. I'm telling you right now, nobody talks about it enough, but Kamari Lassiter shut down Luther Burden. Like, he caught a touchdown pass in that first drive, which was on really – I think it was on Dalen Everett, but it was on really good coverage. He just made a play, and it was a good ball. The rest of the game, his ass got locked down. And to look what Kamari Lassiter is doing for the Texans, like, he's the buzz of their camp. That's one of the best teams on paper in the NFL. And you know what everybody's talking about? This rookie corner from Georgia. Even the other players are tweeting about him. Had Kamari Lassiter ran in Indianapolis, and I don't make the decisions, and I don't know what his health was, but had he ran in Indianapolis on that fast turf, he would have been a first-round draft pick. He didn't. He was unable for whatever reason. So getting back to that, I'm confident in whoever Georgia puts at corner is going to be a really good player, and I think they've got several of them, and they got what some people think, Ellis Robinson, who was the best, might have been the best player in America last year, regardless of position. So, you know, with those things, I just feel like that I feel like I'm confident there, and I'm certain what you're talking about. They're going to play multiple guys, and they're going to have multiple guys that can play at a high level.
I feel that way too about that position, Rusty, and it's one of the reasons why I've never, despite the fact that you're having to replace a guy like Kamari Lassiter, I've never been really worried about it. I just knew that they would have enough guys to compete. It's a little thinner at safety. I mean, obviously, I think Dan Jackson's going to start the season there. I think KJ Bolden's going to absolutely be a factor. And that's just kind of the way that's going to be. And I think it's going to play itself out in real time, because KJ Bolden, I have a feeling that Kirby's going to kind of treat KJ Bolden like the starting pitcher in game six or game elimination game in the playoffs. Is not necessarily you're going to pull him at the first sign of adversity, but you're going to want to have him kind of in and out of the game a little bit early in his career so that you can talk to him, so that you can kind of get through to him when he does mess up and they don't exploit it. All right, let's get him off the field. Let's talk to him real quick, kind of let him know what we're doing here, that type of thing. But I do believe, you know, Dan Jackson is going to be a factor. I believe KJ is going to be a factor. I think Ja'Cory Thomas is probably going to be a factor, probably a bigger factor than most of us think. We all know you come down to that first game, Rusty. Who's it going to be, you think, this year that plays probably 20 more snaps than we ever thought he would play in this game, you know? And I think that kind of guy you're looking at, a Ja'Cory Thomas or one of those guys that you perceived as maybe the sixth wideout on the roster or something like that. But I think the safety is kind of working itself out in real time. It's going to do that throughout the season. And long term, I like KJ's chances, but Dan Jackson is going to be a factor all year.
Yeah, Dan Jackson, they're like Matt Godwin just said, if you're going to play inside backer or you're going to play safety in this defense, it's very complicated. It's very complicated. What Malachi Starks did is rare. So
you heard Matt say that. And the Dan Jackson Malachi Starks beat out in 2022 is a different Dan Jackson than the one we're seeing now, because he's got a lot more experience. He's actually played a lot of really valuable football for Georgia. It's just a different situation. And, you know, KJ, you know, is trying to catch on there, and I think he'll eventually be a big part of that defense.
I agree 100%. Got one more question here. Rusty, how good is Nate Frazier? Nate Frazier has been a lot of buzz. He has been a ton of buzz this season, this fall camp. Everybody's talked about him. If you've been there, if you've been on Dogs HQ, we've talked about him. I think everybody that's got a social media platform has talked about it. You know, kind of caution there. You know, we'll see it in a game, but I mean, this guy's not going to come out and rush for 250 yards Saturday. Like, you know, you're going to see flashes on him and you're going to see why he's special. But as the year goes on, I am confident this kid is going to be a real part of this offense as it goes on. And again, you know, I've told the story about No'Shawn Marino and, you know, coaches going to Mark Richt and begging him, man, please don't redshirt this guy. We know this guy can play. We know this guy can play. And, you know, Coach Richt had three upperclassmen, and they were three NFL guys. He just wasn't going to do it, and that's okay. But those days are over. You got a guy that can help you right now. You're going to find a way to get him on the field, and I'm confident that Nate Frazier is going to be a part of this offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think he's going to be a big part of this offense. I mean, I don't, there's a good chance to kind of right out of the gate if Rod Robb is down and for any length of time. And I think we figure he probably is going to be for at least a month. I think we're probably talking double digit tech, you know, averaging some double digit touches a game probably, or right there at it, just very early in his career.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you say? What Evan say there, Santa?
Evan says, sign up for Dogs HQ and Dogs HQ Plus if you want to hear us talk about Nate and drop a cuss word.
That was a one time. I was one and done, man. I was like a Kentucky. I was like a Kentucky basketball player, man. I was one and done. One and done.
That's right. All right. Hey, speaking of, we got Dogs HQ Plus. Listen, if you haven't checked it out, come check it out. It's awesome. We let our hair down. We throw it. We throw the knowledge at you as fast and furiously as we possibly can. It's 45 minutes to an hour. It's a lot of fun, and I think we're getting better with every show with it kind of turning loose. So join Dogs HQ Plus. We would love to have you come on over to Dogs HQ. We would love to have you there too. I think you're going to want to visit the site tomorrow. I'm just saying. There's a surprise. Just visit the site tomorrow, not just for the content, but we got something coming for you, something special for you. Dogs HQ. .com. We want to see you. Dogs HQ Plus is coming up on Tuesday morning, first thing Tuesday morning, and then we'll be previewing Georgia Clemson on Thursday morning. And we want you there for all of it. Come check us out, and we'll check you out later on.